Good evening, St. Francis County. Welcome to the Park Hills Ledington Chamber of Commerce Meet the Candidates for the St. Francis County Sheriff. Glad that you are here this evening. We just want to say thank you to Midwest Sports Center for being our sponsor this evening. Glad for their support. And also want to mention our elite sponsors for the chamber. These are incredible businesses, and so make sure you are supporting them. If you would you please stand and join me in saying the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And if you would, please remain standing and we will bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your help tonight. We need you. We need you as individuals. We need you as a county. We need you as a country, Father. And I pray for your favor to be upon our elections coming up. I pray for each one of these candidates. I pray that you would give favor to each one of them and help them run their campaigns in a respectful manner to one another. That's what our county deserves. And God, thank you for all of your blessings upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. We are going to now hear from Dr. Joe Gilgore. Dr. Joe is the president of Mack College, if you don't know that already. But Dr. Gilgore will be moderating this evening. And so, Dr. Gilgore, if you would.
Good evening, everybody. All right, just want to go over some of the how tonight's going to go. First off, some housekeeping things. The restrooms are out that door and to the right. My right, your left, out that door, in case you need them. We do ask these silent cell phones, things like that, all the stuff that you're used to. Every time I say that, somebody doesn't. It always happens, but just in case you can remember that, please do so. Tonight's event is a forum, not a debate, so there are no gotcha questions. Every candidate is going to get the same amount of time to answer each question. And my lovely assistant, Josh, is going to sound a ding whenever we are out of time. That's what you're going to hear. There you go. That's lovely. So when you hear that, you're out of time, candidates. We do ask that all of you please hold your response to answers, hold your applause, hold any reactions, good or bad, except for two occasions. And the first one's right now. If you would, please, a round of applause. Join me in welcoming our four candidates for sheriff.
Tonight, each candidate drew a number that assigned them a seat. We will ask questions in order of the seats they drew, rotating with each question. So number one, which is Dan Bullock, will answer the first question first. The second question will be answered by Jeff Price first, and so on. All right, so first up, Mr. Bullock, step to the microphone. First question is, please introduce yourself, and using your own words, could you explain the sheriff's role? You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all for coming out today. It's a beautiful day out. I wanted to extend a thank you to my counterpart in Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak over here. The office of sheriff is sometimes misconstrued. According to state statute, we are responsible to take care of the courts, the bailiffs, to serve papers, and to run a county jail. That's the three things that you have to do. You don't have any choice in those things. Everything else we do as far as patrolling and fighting crime and all the other things we do is an add-on. So We can't let those first three things ever get behind us. They have to be done, and they have to be funded and taken care of. The rest of the time, we get out and patrol the county roads. We take care of crimes and disturbances and things like that throughout the county. It's a pretty big job. Last year, we answered over 21,000 calls for service just through the dispatch center. Now, that doesn't count people that walk into the jail, come in, call in, get to us various other ways. If we're out on the streets and somebody stops us, those are just the ones through the dispatch center. So that's a lot of calls. We have a department that is, I think, second to none. I have a good bunch of officers that work for me. They do a fantastic job. I have a detective unit that is probably as good as any in the nation. And so we appreciate what they do, and I'm sure you all interact with them throughout the year. And anytime that there is something going on or something wrong that you don't agree with, I run an open door policy at the Sheriff's Department. You can walk in, you can call in, you can get to me anytime, day or night, and I carry this phone 24/7. They can always get a hold of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle. Mr. Kreis, same question to you. Please introduce yourself, and using your own words, could you explain the sheriff's role? You will have 3 minutes.
Well, my name is Jeff Kreis, and I want to thank everybody for coming. This is a very important election, and I'm glad to see a good support. I feel that the sheriff is a symbol of law and order for the county. The sheriff is responsible for many, many functions in the county, such as bailiffs at court, security for the courthouse, transport, enforcing the laws of the county. I feel the sheriff is a symbol of law and order, and that symbol is a very high office. It is the highest office, law enforcement officer in the county. I feel that the sheriff has to be a personable person that can relate to the citizens and listens to the citizens and what their concerns and complaints are. You have to have law and order. Without law and order, it's anarchy. I feel the sheriff is the one that represents that for the county. Also, the jail. The jail is a housing unit that holds pre-sentence individuals who have not been convicted of a crime, and therefore the sheriff has to run a jail that represents humanity to people. And I feel that the sheriff is, like I said, the highest office in the county, and it's a high honor to have that position, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. But the sheriff works for the citizens. The citizens are the one we protect, their property, their families, and their rights. So I'll defer the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, same question. Please introduce yourself, and using your own words, could you explain the sheriff's role? You have 3 minutes.
First of all, thank you, Park Hills Ludington Chamber of Commerce, for hosting this event. Thank you, Dr. Gilgore, for moderating, and thank each of you for coming out this evening. My name is Tim Harris. I'm a Christian, a husband to my wife, Katie, a father of four, and a constitutional conservative choice for St. Francis County Sheriff. I'm a 24-year veteran of the Sheriff's Department. In that time, I've fought my way from jail to patrol, canine to detective, where I earned the rank of Detective Corporal and then Detective Sergeant. The sheriff, to me, is governed by state statute. Dan spoke right when he said that the sheriff is responsible for courtroom security, they're responsible for civil process, and they're responsible for the jail. We do have a responsibility to our citizens, after that is covered, to answer our calls for service and to protect you. I feel like this is the most important role in our county's government. I believe that it is the biggest role of trust in our county. You trust us to uphold your rights to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and your right to keep and bear arms. I believe that my men and women at the Sheriff's Department right now would stand toe-to-toe with anybody from the federal government on down that would try to come into this county and take those rights from us. I think that is the biggest role for the sheriff in a position of trust, and not to violate that trust is the biggest responsibility of the sheriff. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Crown, same question. Please introduce yourself, and using your own words, could you explain the sheriff's role? You have 3 minutes.
Like everyone else has said, I want to thank the Ledington Park Hills Chamber for having us here and all of you guys for showing up and showing your support and interest in this election. My name is Jason Crump. I'm a lifelong resident of St. Francis County, and the last 15 years I've spent in police administration for the city of St. Genevieve. I'm a two-time small business owner here in St. Francis County. Like they said, the sheriff's position is governed by the state statute. You are responsible for court security, paper service, and running a detention facility. And part of running a detention facility is we need to protect the rights of those that are in the detention facility. You know, their civil rights. They have the same rights as we have, and we need to make sure we're not violating those. We need to make sure that we're not paying out in the lawsuits as well. So the one thing that hasn't been touched on, I think, is the responsibility of the sheriff, along with everything that has been discussed, is governing and making sure we're spending your tax dollars correctly. And that's the one thing that hasn't been touched on. So with my 15 years in police administration experience and budget writing, I think that's what makes me stand out a little bit, is I'm used to managing the taxpayers' money and being conservative with that taxpayers' money. So other than that, I think they've touched most of it. You know, we're responsible for enforcing the law by choice, not governed by state statute. And that's the biggest roles of the sheriff's department. And like he said, the sheriff is the highest ranking law enforcement official in the county. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody save their time. Let's see if we can keep that going. All right, the next question will be first answered by Mr. Krebs. If elected, what do you consider the most critical issue facing your office and the county's residents, and how do you intend to address this issue? You have 2 minutes.
I think one of the most important things of addressing right now would be the homelessness and mental health issues that we have in the county. I don't believe, when you have a fire, you call the fire department. When you have a medical emergency, you call an EMT or an ambulance. When you don't know who to call, you call law enforcement. Some of this homeless issue has fallen on law enforcement's shoulders. I don't believe we're completely equipped to handle that. I think it's a community problem, and I'm willing to head up a coalition to bring in other disciplines to work on this homeless issue, such as East Missouri Action Agency, the clergy, the business owners, the mayors. We have to get community members involved. There are resources there. We need to bring that to the forefront to help this homeless. I think the homeless issue also has some mental health issues, some substance abuse. I'm sure you all have seen it in the county. It's a growing concern, and that I think is one of the major issues that we have on our plate, so to speak, at this time. But I'm prepared to take the lead and organize these resources and work towards a common goal of ending homelessness and getting help for those with mental health conditions. Thank you.
Mr. Harris, if elected, what do you consider the most critical issue facing your office and the county's residents, and how do you intend to address this issue? You have 2 minutes.
I think the most critical thing that we're facing right now is drug use. Drug use in the county. That drug use spirals down, and it affects mental health. It affects our homeless population. It affects you, the taxpayers, because you're the ones that are getting robbed or getting your catalytic converters cut off. We must beef up our patrols. We must work hand in hand with the agencies that are out there right now, Mineral Area Drug Task Force, and we currently have a deputy assigned to the DEA, which is where I used to be. We've got to tackle those, and then once we put those guys into jail, once we, you know, if you're using drugs, you need help, obviously. The way that when we put you in a jail, we need to provide you a resource in that jail. Right now we're working on a machine that reads the drug samples that our guys get on a daily basis. Once they read those, what we're trying to do is work with the courts and our drug court to get these people moved in move into jail and into the court system quicker, and then into a drug rehab type facility. We're using this machine to help spiral all that, and that's what the goal is to get help to those who need it. But the ones that are out there slinging these drugs, the ones that are out there moving high quantities of drugs to our children and to our residents of St. Francis County, we need to put them under the jail. I'm tired of it. This county is suffering because of this drug use. So that is one of the biggest issues facing this county right now is our drug use, and we're going to combat it through proactive policing and through our detective division. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Crum, if elected, what do you consider the most critical issue facing your office and the county's residents, and how do you intend to address the issue? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. That's a tough question because there are several that I think are just as equally as important. But I think the one that we've been asked the most about would be the substance abuse and the mental health crisis that we are currently facing. And you know, on the mental health and the substance abuse, what people need to realize is it's higher than just the local level. You know, it needs to start with the federal government, and we're never going to beat it until we shut down our borders. That's going to be a start. And then second, at the state level, a lot of people don't realize in the last 6+ years, the state of Missouri has shut down about 12,000 beds in the Department of Corrections. You know, where do they think it pushes these people to? But yet they haven't released any additional resources to local government to combat that problem. And a lot of these people that were sentenced to the Department of Corrections, the only place they received those resources was while they were in the Department of Corrections. So we know we need to beef up the security. We need to make sure that we're going after the dealers and putting those dealers in prison where they belong. And then the street level users, that's the ones that we need to offer the resources to, whether it's on the streets or in the detention center once they would make it to the detention center. We need to have those resources available the day they walk in. And the same with the mental health. We need to get the resources to address the mental health problem. And it's going to be more than what just the local sheriff can do. It's going to have to be a task force, if you will, of mental health providers, social service workers, your mayors, your faith-based leaders, your business owners, and develop a plan that works for our community, because there's not going to be a cookie-cutter plan that works statewide. So we need to address and how are we going to fix the problem just in our community. And I would be willing to make sure that we lead up that task force and address that problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bullock, if elected, what do you consider the most critical issue facing your office and the county's residents, and how do you intend to address this issue? You have 2 minutes.
Well, all these things that you've heard are very important issues to the Sheriff's Department. The homeless condition, the mental health. Ever since the state of Missouri and the nation went out of the mental health business, we've had those mental health patients thrown on us. We end up with them in jail. We do not have the staff that's qualified to take care of mental health people. We can't give out psychotropic drugs. We don't have doctors that are mental health doctors. We have medical doctors at the jail. We have nurses at the jail. They can't handle these things. So that's a very important thing. All these different things, the homeless, the mental health, all these things cost money. Now, anybody here that thinks they're not already paying enough tax money, I'd like to meet you after the meeting here, because we could use some more money. But the Sheriff's Department lives off sales tax in this county, and that's all the money we have. So there's lots of good programs that could come out, lots of things we could do, but we'd have to come back to the taxpayers for more money. I don't think anybody is wanting to pay more taxes. We get all the law enforcement sales tax here, and we get the Prop P money that we received from the voters of Gracely this past year, so that has helped out. We've had 10 officers on the road from what we had. We're doing a lot more patrolling, getting a lot of things done. This drug machine that Tim was talking about is on its way here. We're going to be getting that very soon. That'll help us. I see we have some judges in the crowd and prosecutors. This catch and release program we've been working with is
thank you, Mr. Bullock.
Won't work. Thank you.
Question 3, first answered by Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, what is your strategy to align the Sheriff's Department with its budgetary constraints? 2 minutes.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
What is your strategy to align the Sheriff's Department with its budgetary constraints?
Budget-related issues. So when I take over on day one, I've already got a plan in place. I've been offered help by a former auditor, by local bankers and business owners who would help come in with not only me, but my command staff. As we sit down and peer over the budget line item by line item, I've looked at the budget. There's 74 pages, I believe, of a budget. We need to go out and we need to work one by one to see where we can't trim that fat and save a little bit of money here and a little bit of money here. A little bit at a time leads up to hopefully a lot. That will give us more money to put back into the Sheriff's Department and fund some of these programs or add more staff into our jail. Our jail is the first place that needs staff added to it. So when it comes to budgetary constraints, we will budget thoroughly, we will budget wisely, and it won't be just a one-man job. It will be a multiple-person job. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Crum, what is your strategy to align the Sheriff's Office with its budgetary constraints? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I've been reviewing the budget for the last several months, and, you know, like they've said, there's not a whole lot of fat to trim within the budget. They're good at spending the money that they have. We just need to make sure it's spent in the proper locations. We need to make sure that we have our resources dedicated in the correct spots. If that means restructuring to make sure that the deputies that we have are in the right locations that benefit the county the most. That would be the biggest thing we need to do on the budget. The tax dollars are coming in, but we're putting them out faster than they're coming in. So, the Prop P money has been beneficial to the county. We just need to make sure we're utilizing those resources correctly. And from looking at the budget, there's a lot of adjustments can be made, a lot of moving and manipulating numbers that I think will benefit and help fund some of these programs that we're talking about. And a lot of these programs are free programs that there's people in the community that are trained in this that are willing to help for free. We just have to give them that avenue to do it. So that's the biggest thing on the budget, and I think we can do that and not have to come to the taxpayers and ask for any more money. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bullock, what is your strategy to align the Sheriff's Department with its budgetary constraints? You have 2 minutes.
I actually have been doing this. This is 32 years I've been preparing a budget for the county and trying to spend the taxpayers' money where it's very responsibly. And I don't think there's a whole lot of fat there to trim. If there is, you know, I'm willing to listen to anyone that has any suggestions on that. Oftentimes, you know, in 1992 when I first ran, I went to a forum like this and I said, by golly, when I get in there, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. It doesn't take very long to find out that you may not have the money or the authority to do some of the things you think you'll do to make the department better. I think we can continue like we are. The Prop P money is coming in very good, and it's getting more and of that money every month. And I think we'll be good, and that we can continue like we are. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kreitz, what is your strategy to align the Sheriff's Department with its budgetary constraints? You have 2 minutes.
Well, for those that know about budgets, a budget, you can't spend more than what you have. So you have to allocate funds and use them wisely. And like it's already previously been said, and you're going to hear a lot of the same answers here tonight. And the reason for that is we've all been in law enforcement many years. We all kind of have the same ideas. It's just who do you think can get it done? So with the budget, you can't spend more than what you have. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think we need to seek grants for projects. We have to work with the commissioners and get funding through them. Have to work with the auditor's office. Take care of our equipment. We also have to do some things in the county, just simple things that would be, where do we get our fuel? I think right now we have one spot where we get fuel in the county, so the deputies have to drive further to get fuel. Can we look at putting a fuel filling station somewhere else in the county that would cut down on that drive back and forth? So there are a lot of things. I don't want to say a lot of things, but there are a few things. I know the budget's tight, We always want more money. You hear that from every agency. There's not a law enforcement agency that says, no, we've got plenty. Thanks. We don't need any more. But we could all use more money, but we just have to use it fiscally responsible. This is the citizens' money, their tax money, and we have to be good fiscal spenders of their money. So, thank you.
Thank you. Question number four will first be answered by Mr. Crump. Mr. Crump, how will the current capacity of 170 beds accommodate the influx of detainees? Will there be a need for jail expansion? You have 2 minutes.
As of now, I don't see a need for jail expansion. The last count I had was 70 inmates, and we're, 180 bed facility, not counting the new medical wing. So now I don't see a need for an increase in the county jail. If anything, we need to look at bringing federal inmates in if possible to offset the budget once we get everything in position and the jail up to the standard where it needs to be to try to help offset that budget. And then if it gets to a point that we have an influx of inmates and we need a larger jail, then you start looking for funding to increase the jail size. But now, like I said, we're 100 shy of even being at capacity. So right now there's no immediate need of any kind of a jail increase. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bullock, how will the current capacity of 170 beds accommodate the influx of detainees? Will there be a need for jail expansion? You have 2 minutes.
There really shouldn't be any need for an expansion. The current capacity is, by the way, 188 beds, and we have plenty of room right now. Now, it's been brought up about federal inmates. We have kept federal inmates in the past. We did here in St. Francis County for about 30 years. Now, a misconception is that if you have federal inmates, it's going to be all profit, and the federal government is going to hand you money. It doesn't work that way. First place, you don't have a choice on how many you're going to get. Say, well, you could get 100 federal inmates. Look at the money you could make possible, but they decide that. Sometimes we had 10. Sometimes we had 25. Sometimes we had even less. Now, they don't send you the cream of the crop from the federal government. You get prisoners that are a problem. They have medical problems. They are expensive. You have to add extra deputies when you've got federal inmates. You have to have extra vehicles. And those people have to spend time in federal court, either in St. Louis or in Cape Girardeau. It costs a lot of money to house federal inmates. The federal government, in my opinion, coddles inmates and wants them to have more privileges and a lot more than what our regular county inmates have. I don't believe in that. They should all be treated the same fairly, but all the same, they get 3 square meals a day, a bed, and as I often say, 3 hops and a cot. That is what they receive at our facility. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kretz, how will the current capacity of 188 beds accommodate the influx of detainees? Will there be need for jail expansion? You have 2 minutes.
Well, at this time, I don't see a reason to do the expansion. They're housing plenty right now. I think under the current bonding procedures and bail procedures, with the what we call the book and release, we're not housing as many inmates. However, on the federal inmates, I think we need to look at that issue. Apparently it hasn't worked in the past, but maybe we need to look at the cost analysis. What is it going to cost up front for us to get the jail to the federal standards? How much is it going to cost to have a deputy go with them compared to the cost of housing inmates? So other than the inmates from St. Francis County that we are holding, I don't see any reason to increase the capacity. However, I think we need to bring the jail up and make it a nicer facility. So as far as increasing it, no, but making it a better facility, a nicer facility, a more modern facility, I'm all for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, how will the current capacity of 188 beds accommodate the influx of detainees? Will there be a need for jail expansion? You have 2 minutes.
Well, I've spoken with state representatives and at length about our jail reform, bail reform. We're releasing inmates without a hold. They're book and release right now. So a victim of a crime is not getting a reprieve from the suspect who comes to jail, and before the ink's dry on their booking form, they're out the door. So until we fix jail reform and bail reform, we're not going to be at capacity. But if we were to bring in federal inmates and then they did away with jail reform and bail reform, we would be over capacity. Then you have to break your contract with the federal government. So at this time, I wouldn't see a need for jail expansion. I don't see a need to bring in federal inmates right now. I think it's worth exploring. I think it's worth really sinking your teeth into and trying to figure out if there was a way that the federal government would come in and pay for that jail. If they want to come and pay for a jail expansion, a bigger jail facility for us to hold their inmates, I'm all for it. But if they're not going to foot the bill for that, I don't want to put it on the taxpaying citizens. These major cities that have sports arenas that want a new sports arena, they put that on the taxpaying citizens. It's up to them to foot the bill for that new arena so they can come and enjoy that. You guys don't enjoy inmates. You know, you want them protected while they're there. You want to know that justice is being served while they're there, but you don't want to continue to pay for that. So I don't see a need for jail expansion at all right now. As far as the jail conditions, the jail is being remodeled right now. There's new paint on the walls. The floor is being ready to be painted. The windows that are broken are being replaced. The air conditioner is brand new. The boiler system is brand new. The salt holding tank is brand new. So those things are being taken care of. Those things are in place right now. But as far as anything new with that jail, there is no need for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Final question answered first by Mr. Bullock. As a final question and closing statement, please explain what unique qualities or experience differentiate you from the other candidates. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, sir. Well, I'm a lifelong resident of Bon Terre in San Francisco County. I come from a law enforcement family. I had a great uncle that was the chief of Mayfield, Kentucky, 32 years. My father was a police officer and a deputy sheriff in this county. My brother's a chief of police in Deloge, Missouri. My younger brother is a chief of police in Farmington, Missouri. My son was a chief of police in Bismarck. I come from a law enforcement family. My other brother, the only other one, was a Flat River police officer back before it was Park Hills. So I learned a lot. I learned a lot of this from when I was just a child, sitting out in the driveway in my when my dad would have the patrol car home. And I drove thousands of miles without ever leaving the driveway, sitting there in that car, acting like I was on the radio and turning the siren on and the red lights and those kinds of things. I have been your sheriff for 32 years here, and I think I have served the community well. I run an open door policy, as I said before, at my office. You're all welcome to come anytime. Doors never closed. The phone's always on. My cell phone's on my side. If you need me, you can call or come by or stop by and see me. The budget that everyone talked about is laying there in my office. You're all welcome to come and take a look at that thing. If you see a place where we can trim some fat, be glad to hear about it. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Kress, as a final question and closing statement, please explain what unique qualities or experiences differentiate you from the other candidates. You have 3 minutes.
Well, first, let me say that I am a third-generation career law enforcement officer. My grandfather and my father both retired from over 30 years of law enforcement. So I learned at an early age about the importance of law enforcement and serving my community. For over 32 years, I've been employed with the Farmington Police Department, which is a 39-member department with one of the highest call volumes and diverse range of call types in the county. I began my career as a part-time dispatcher. I was quickly promoted through the rank to detective lieutenant, where I've been in a supervisory role for the last 25 years. During that time, I've fostered numerous relationships and contacts with other agencies in the federal, state, and local levels. I've undergone extensive training in leadership and criminal investigations, emergency management. I continue to train to this day. I've been married to my wife, Chrissy, for 31 years. We have 3 adult children, and I owe my whole family so much. They've supported me in all my years while I've enjoyed a chosen profession and as I'm seeking the sheriff's position. Speaking of budgets, I've raised three kids on a police officer's salary and am debt-free, so that kind of goes to the budget as well. But in closing, I think I bring in a fresh perspective and a new set of eyes, and I'm confident in my background of being highly experienced and respected in the law enforcement community in St. Francis County. I look forward to using my education and experience to ensure the safety of the citizens of St. Francis County, and I want to continue to stand by my values of honor, ethics, and integrity in protecting you, your family, your property, and your rights. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, as a final question and closing statement, please explain what unique qualities or experiences differentiate you from the other candidates. You have 3 minutes.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a first-generation law enforcement officer. It doesn't run in my family, and my son is the only one behind me that's now in the police academy. So I can summarize that all in my closing statement. I was going to run for this office 4 years ago. I made a promise to Dan that if he were to run and not retire, that I wouldn't run against him. I was a man of my word, and I kept that promise. When I returned to the Sheriff's Department from the DEA, where I did 7 years attached with them, I didn't sit idle. Over the past 3 years, I've accomplished all the goals that I set for myself if I were to win sheriff 4 years ago. We fought for and won Prop P. I was a major contributing factor in that campaign. Because of that, we added 11 new patrol positions, increased deputy salaries to help us to retain our most experienced deputies. I changed the hours of operation on our schedule from 8-hour shift work to a 12-hour Kelly schedule. This effectively doubled the presence of deputies on patrol and drastically reduced response times. Last year, I began a campaign in our local schools. This campaign joins law enforcement and domestic violence survivors who go in and they teach our youth about the dangers of dating and domestic violence. Last year, we were in 3 school classes in 2 school districts, including right here at Central High School. We began active shooter training. I'm a close quarter combat instructor. We're the only ones in our area that train this on a routine basis in all our local churches, schools, and even the courthouse. Began a campaign to ensure all deputies and corrections officers are certified in crisis intervention training. This helps with the rising number of mental health related calls that we face. I even sent a deputy to advanced CIT. This will help her to provide peer support to all our local first responders when they suffer from the horrors that we face. And using connections I made at the federal level when I was with the DEA, I added 3 canines to the patrol division at no cost to the taxpaying citizens. We now run 4 canines total, 1 per shift. It's been the honor of my life to serve and protect you for the last 24 years. I couldn't think of doing this anywhere else. But now's the time. It's time for change. I'm young enough, I'm eager, and I'm driven to see this department that I've worked at for 24 years succeed at the highest level possible. I want to continue serving you, the citizens, as the next sheriff of St. Francis County, and I'd appreciate your vote on August 6th. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Crump, as a final question and closing statement, please explain what unique qualities or experiences differentiate you from the other candidates. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I decided to run for sheriff about 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago. It was right after the last election, just because I felt the need. It was time for a change, and it was time for a new perspective at the sheriff's department. I'm a lifelong resident of St. Francis County, and I'm also a third-generation law enforcement officer. The last 15 years I have spent in police administration for the city of St. Genevieve, and with that, I bring the administration experience that the sheriff's department needs if there's going to be a change. I'm not taking away from any of the guys as far as being great officers, being great detectives, but we're not electing an officer or a detective. You're electing an administrator. I've listened for the last 3 years to some issues that people have going door to door. I've listened to the complaints from the citizens. I have yet to go to the door and someone's 100% satisfied with the sheriff's department. You need to remember, 2 of the candidates have the ability to change that now, and it hasn't been changed. But the problems go beyond just that. You guys, the citizens, passed Proposition P, which generated more money than originally anticipated. The money is gone, it's spent up already, and the Sheriff's Department's on track to go over budget again. They recently went to the commission and asked for additional funds, and they were told to go to the LRF board and ask for LRF funds, which is the Law Enforcement Restitution Fund. They were granted $140,000 out of that fund to help offset the budget deficit. Some of that was emergency expenditures, but the problem with that is we don't currently operate with any kind of a 5-year or 10-year plan. You have to know the wear and the life expectancy of some of your equipment, and you need to prepare for that in the future and write a budget that accommodates that. Like I said, I've written budget for 15 years for the city of St. Genevieve, never gone over budget. The last 5 years, I pulled the numbers, and I've averaged 5.5% under budget, returning hundreds of thousands of dollars back to the city to general revenue to fund other projects, which prevents them to have to go to the taxpayers and ask for additional funds later. I'm the only candidate up here that has written and implemented a complete policy and procedure manual for the agency. Just within the last year, I've wrote a new policy and procedure manual for the city of St. Genevieve that not only is current, but it stays up to date. We use a third party, which they use their legal team to make sure that any law changes, federal, state, local law, they send you those notifications to keep your policies up to date, which is going to help lower the liability for the county. The second part of that is the training. This company will push daily trainers to your deputies, forcing them to have to read scenario-based training and answer those scenario bases based off of the policy, which keeps them fresh on the policy on a regular basis. I've also recently implemented a in-car camera and a body-worn camera program for our city, and that's something that we need in this county. It's going to help hold the county and the deputies accountable, and it's also going to offer for transparency. Thank you.
To our four candidates, I want to thank you for choosing to run for Sheriff's Office, and thank you also for your service to our communities. It's clear you all care about St. Francis County and care about serving and protecting us. Audience, we asked, I told you that two times I want to hear from you. This is the second time. Please give a round of applause for our candidates. Thanks, everybody, for coming. I'm sure the candidates will sit around and talk to you afterwards, and have a good night.